be the speaker this morning, don't worry. You're already meant to speak and just remember that. Oops. I'm Lorinda, I'm from Westside in Queensland, and I'll be reading our Bible passage this morning. We've got a few different passages. So the first one is from John chapter 13, 1 to 17. And I'll just get it up with you guys. It'll be on the screen, I think, as well, maybe. Alright, so John 13, verse 1 to 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And our next passage comes from John 15, verse 12 to 17. So John 15, verse 12 to 17. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." And then finally, our last passage is John 17, verse 20 to 23. So 17, verse 20. "I do not ask for these things only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." Thanks.
Let me pray. Father in heaven, all we have is Christ. All we need is Christ. And Christ is our life. Yet, Lord, maybe not all of us know that. None of us know it as we should. Now, Father, as we look into your word, would you show us how wonderful Christ is and how our identity is actually in him, and that life is about him and not about us. Lord, I'm gonna try apply the scriptures, and maybe it won't go all the way. Lord, I'm going to throw this spear as far as I can. And would you pick it up and would you stab people in the heart? I cause them to know that Jesus really is King, really is Lord, and that there is no better way to live our life than under him. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us real purpose in life and real joy, and that through your Son, our Saviour, our Lord, Jesus. Amen. All right, this is your life. You've just beat 14 years of school. 14 years! And you've got an ADAR of, you know, what, 2 points less than you needed, probably. But that's okay, because you just beat 14 years of school. And now you burst forth into the world, and you're like, I'm going to be recognised. I'm going to be appreciated. I'm going to be used. I'm going to make my mark through my wisdom and skill. But the world quickly replies, no. You know nothing. You are nothing. Run along. Run along into a four-year apprenticeship or a five-year degree. Maybe then we'll listen to you. And so that's what you do. You suck eggs for another 4 years. You just beat 14 years of school. Another 4 years. Or 5 years, a bachelor, a master's. And then you parade into the workforce with a ticket or a degree, and you're like, how do you like me now? And the world replies, you're little. You're still little. You still know little. Like, there's the bottom of the ladder. Sit down, shut up for 10 years. Maybe then we'll listen to you. Maybe then we'll throw you in a promotion. And in this cultural moment, like, everyone wants recognition and fast, but it comes really, really slow. Like, in our struggle for a recognition, we notice we're not the only ones fighting. There's other people too. Other people want recognition too, and we need to beat them. Like, we gotta jostle and wrestle for the highest place. We all get swept into this lie that for our worth and our value, we need to rise higher up in the me up top culture. We believe that for success, all our steps should be upward, because like up there is the fame and it's the prestige and there's recognition. Like up there I can govern and I can make decisions and people will bow to me and do what I want them to do. In fact, I think deep down, we all want to be considered. To be considered high, lofty, having achieved. Like for people at least to know that we're going places. And look, I think maybe you've already had those conversations here. You know, try to establish yourself in some way. You share with some degree of importance what you're doing with your life. And look, I get it. Look, we're here for a soulmate, right? Actually, let me help you. Guys, holler out if you're after a bride. Yeah. Ladies, give a holler out if you're looking for a groom. Maybe not. Everyone's happy being single. Well, what I can say is we do want. I mean, look, you're a lion. Like, I know you better than you know you. But we want popularity. We want recognition. We want attention. Yeah, like we're gonna strut around like a peacock, like for the next few days. Maybe it's okay for a few days. because you are after someone. But notice in this passage that God's heart for the church is not that we are in the pursuit of up. Rather, the church in Jesus is meant to get low like Jesus. And so that this morning, that's my aim. To sell the blessing of rising to the bottom with Jesus. Now, this bottom rung life needs to be sold to us, not only because it's countercultural, but because we don't want to be on the bottom. Like what? Why should we, right? Why should someone like me be on the bottom of the ladder? That's crazy. Like, that's for the losers. The losers belong there. Someone like me, like, I get good marks in the right areas. I'll win the right races. I can kick the footy straight. Do you know how many headshots I get in Fortnite? Like, I can do the things really well. Our default position is that we belong on the top, not towards the bottom. But look, check this out. I hope you've got your Bibles with you. You're going to need your Bibles with you. If you don't, get out your phone, download the app, get it up on Google. We're looking at chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 3. Jesus knew who he was. He knew how high he was. He knew who he was in cahoots with. God the Father, Almighty, himself. Yet Jesus got low. Verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. Therefore, what? What is Jesus going to do as a direct result of being sure of his own glorious glory? Jesus does the exact opposite to what we think he would do, what we would do. He got low. Watch now, verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. I'm not going to be disrespectful here, friends. It is never okay to make jokes about Jesus, right? But this is Jesus in an apron. Like, he should be in a robe, on a throne, with a crown. Up the top. Instead, he grabs an apron and he takes the bottom and he washes his disciples' feet. Verse 5, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. You see, Jesus wasn't low, he got low. It was a decision. Jesus got low despite being deserving of the very, very highest. If Jesus can humble himself, what on earth makes you think that you cannot? Like, surely we can, can't we? What is it that we have achieved that we shouldn't bend, but Jesus did? That Jesus bent, but that we should not? I need to use someone as an example, right? So I'm going to use our main man, Mike. You heard him yesterday. He's a wise guy. Like, actually, really, really wise. He's been my lecturer several times. I'm not sure if you remember this. He's written books. He speaks around the world. No one in this room is going to match his wisdom. I can honestly say that. He's unbelievably wise. But he hasn't always been wise. And he's not as wise as he's going to be. He's changeably wise. We could measure Mike's wisdom against other things, against other standards. His being is not identical to the attribute of wisdom, nor is he wisdom itself, nor the definition of wisdom. That's the same for all of us here, but it's not the same for Jesus, who is the fullness of God in every single way. Who is the image of the invisible God, the exact imprint of his being. Our Lord Jesus is not just wise, he is wisdom. He is the source, he is the touchstone of wisdom. He is the origin and the original. there is nothing he measures up to or learns from. That's true about Jesus with wisdom and every other good feature. Everything good that you can think of. Jesus is fully goodness himself. Love itself. Righteousness itself. Holiness itself. He is pure and unmixed without error or fault. There is no darkness or error in him. No one in the flesh is higher, better, or more able than Jesus. And Jesus got low. Really low. If Jesus can get low, like apron low, what trophies are in your cabinet that you cannot get low? If Jesus, the chandelier of heaven, got low for the benefit of others, for the benefit of you, how much easier must it be for us? Jesus got low with his apron on. He foot washed. I suppose you know this already. Foot washing was for servants. Jesus had just been welcomed into Jerusalem. There were, you know the story, triumphal entry, there's palm branches waving. They're recognizing that he is king. That's in one of the passages just earlier. And now he's washing dirty, stinking feet. The King of Kings willingly chose humble service. And then Jesus says, guys, listen, I want you to do the same. I'm reading from verse 12. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that's who I am. That's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, let me be honest. I really, really do not like feet. I am not going anywhere near your feet. And you can stay the heck away from mine. Now, but feet were so much more gross back then. Like, we have half an hour shower, go to the beach, come back, have another half an hour shower. But, you know, they couldn't do that. But it's not about foot washing, is it? I mean, if it was, we'd be washing feet every Sunday. Thank golly we don't. It's about getting low. That's the point. Me putting you before me. Me being under you. Your regard before my own. Your comfort before my own. Regardless of who's smarter, stronger, better looking, hotter, whatever. And consider, don't we love it when people are like that? Don't we love people who get low? Have you met someone who's top notch? You know they're smart. They're experienced. They're beautiful. They're higher up in some way. And they're talking to you. To you. Like, they're joking, they're laughing, they're sharing as if you're on their level. Or even higher. We love people like that. We've got so much time for them because they had time for us. In fact, interestingly, we respect them more for their humility. Do you want to be loved? People will love you more for your humility. But however, because this, Jesus respects that attitude too. Jesus goes on to say, you'll be blessed if you do them. That is, God looks kindly, lovingly on that behavior. Jesus respects that attitude too. Can you see what Jesus is saying about this me up top culture? It's actually the exact opposite to what we should be going for. Blessed happiness, like blessed contentment, is not found in reaching higher, it's found in getting low, in serving lower. Now, look, I'm going to be honest, you could go into any sphere, school, uni, home, church, work, friendship circles, sport, play, whatever, and you could take with you the attitude, I'm the greatest, I can be the greatest, I can be the best. Now, you could do that, and people will see that, and quite often, they will bend over backwards to make things happen for you. There's been books and books written on it. It works. An attitude of me number one, me, I can do it, I'm the best, that will get you places in life. That will cause you to rise up the ladder. You'll get higher places, better jobs, more money, higher prestige. People will see your confidence, self-assurance, and self-drive, and they will reward you. But the thing is, Jesus sees that too, and he's not smiling. Because he sees it, and he really sees it. You know, he sees it for what it is. It's our distrust in what he says is better for our life. It's not just the theft of, it's not just our theft of his glory, but it's our distrust in his command. See, in this world we may be blind, we might be dazzled by the charm of glory. We're dazzled by the suits and the makeup and the cars and the degrees. The main impress of us, that Jesus sees beneath all that, doesn't he? I don't think Jesus has any smiles for the me up top culture. What does Jesus have smiles for? Getting low like him. Well, we're going to rub that in and see it at work in the decisions we make. But before we look at how Christians get low, I want us to look at how low we should go. How low we can go. And the answer is deep. Really deep. And for that, we're going to flick over to John 15, verse 12. So can you flick over to John 15, verse 12? There we see that, we'll begin to see that Christians dig deep for each other just like Jesus did for us. Verse 12 says this, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has none than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus dug deep. You know what I mean by dug deep, hey? You go hard. You go the hardest. You put in all your effort and you get the thing done with all your energy. Now, Jesus went as deep as was required, as deep as the situation called for, to serve us. Like, how deep did Jesus go? All the way to the cross. That's deep. That's deep love. When Jesus said, to lay down one's life for his friends, he wasn't actually telling us how far we must go for one another. He was telling us how far he would go for us. And now by extension, if Jesus would go that far in love for us, there is no depth too deep to dive in love by us for one another. It doesn't mean we need to go looking for ways to jump in front of bullets, by the way. Actually, can I share something? Look, this is between you and me. It's actually rather embarrassing and shameful, or both. Ever since... Actually, by the way, if you're from WA, you're not allowed to take this home, okay? Ever since I was in year two, I've been saving people every single week. Not in real life, of course. I've never done a single heroic thing in my life. But probably once a week, I dream about being a hero. I don't plan it. It just happens. My first one was saving Leah Harden, my childhood sweetheart. I karate chopped a baddie, and she gave me a kiss on the cheek. That was a good dream. Now, from the daydreams just kept on coming. And actually, if there was a dangerous situation, I'm actually the guy that you want to be with, because I'm going to rule the day like a mad dog because I've experienced it. I've experienced everything. Like, I've daydreamed every crisis from every angle. Terrorists, tornadoes, someone throws a grenade in the building, I jump on it, velociraptors come in here, I save everyone. I've literally got every single base covered. I know exactly what to do. Now, but here's the thing. My motive in all of those... See? That's shameful, hey? My motives is never love. It's glory. Self-glory. You know, when Jesus said, Christian, the apron is yours now, it's not about doing something low for your glory. It's love. It's about loving others. See, apron wearing never looks heroic. The get low mindset looks like sacrificial love. And in all the small things every single day, the real things. Getting low is waking up and feeling rubbish, but I'm not going to make my mum's day worse by being a grouch. Getting low is wanting the front seat, but instead of calling shotgun, you take the back seat. Getting low is your parents come in with the shopping and you pause the movie and you go help with the bags. And then you help unpack the bags and you ask them how the day was. Getting low is helping your grumpy manager, stressed out of her mind, by asking, things look hard for you today, can I help in some way? Getting low is sharing your bright essay ideas with someone you know who's struggling. Getting low is letting your little brother share his story around the dinner table without interrupting, even though his story is crap and he's a little turd. Getting low is sweeping up your workstation and then someone else's. It's letting people have the chair and you stand, or you take the small meat off the barbecue. You know, like it's like none of them are heroic. You're not gonna make any headlines. No one will call you a hero for that. Yet if you love because Jesus loved you first, if you're doing it for him and out of love for one another, then you've got verse 14, which is a better title than being a hero. Jesus calls you friend. The Son of God, the chandelier of heaven, calls you friend. What better accolade than that? Is there any promotion more fulfilling? The cure to a me up top culture is not try to be less noisy and less showboaty. The cure is to look to Jesus and see his example. That he was high and became low for me. He deserved the best, yet endured the worst because he loves me. And if he could spend his life for me, well, I can spend my life on others. Now, what if walking day by day, remaining in Jesus, sure of his love, that feeds my identity, instead of worldly prestige from career and ability and popularity, what if an entire church wore aprons? Loving one another, huddled up with Jesus. Because Christians huddle up with Jesus. What would that church be like? Head over to John 17. We're going to have a look. Verse 20. You know what a huddle is? It's when, you know, the coach, like, he pulls all the team in, and there's, you know, him and the captain and all the players, and they're like, this is what we're going to do. You know, he speaks out the game, so the team would win, and the opposition will suck eggs. Like, but in our passage, Jesus huddles with the church, and it's not about winning. It's about getting along. Having a great time. Loving one another in such a way that the world sees that God is good. So the final supper is finished. Jesus is about to be handed over to be crucified, and now he's praying for his disciples and then for us. Literally, he's going to pray for us. You're in the Bible. What is he going to ask for? Okay, verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, that is his 11 disciples. Judas is already gone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that's us. What does he pray for us? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. Jesus doesn't want you to be number one. He wants us to be one. You know, like that we would be one together. Like close. How close? Like the Father and the Son close. That is incredibly close. There is so much love in that. Like, may they also be in us so that the world would believe you sent me. Look, I'm going to be speaking on that Sunday, so I'm not going to hit that. But look at this. I have given them the glory that you gave me. That's what Jesus said to the Father. Lord, I've given them the glory that you gave me. Do you want to be epic? Do you want to be unbelievably epic? Well, here's the thing. You are. If you are in Christ, God thinks you're epic. Because Jesus has given you his glory. That's your identity. There is nothing higher. There is nothing more. That's higher. That's better. That's more glorious than the me up top culture. Being with Jesus and sharing his glory. And Jesus said that. Like, that is just, you don't need to struggle any higher. Like, do you understand? You are already the highest. With Jesus, sharing his glory. It's crazy. What more do you want? Well, we get more. Look, there's icing on the cake. Unity. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Look, up top culture creates envy and jealousy and fights. But what Jesus offers is glory and unity. Like, that's, what could beat that? Are you a Jesus friend? Do you know he died for you? Have you given your life over to him who gave over his life for you? If glory is what you're after, don't look for the up top culture. How about the real deal? Giving Jesus the glory that he deserves and being gifted with his glory back. But wearing aprons with Jesus, together in Jesus, like Jesus, for Jesus, that is the most glorious position that you can be in. So that's me almost done. That's who we can be now. Friends with Jesus in aprons of glory. Aprons of glory. But let's look forward a few years. You are going, you're the church now. You're going to be the leaders of the church tomorrow. I mean, some of you are already on your way. But more responsibility is going to be thrown to you. Thrown to you by the church, thrown to you by Jesus. And I'd love you to know today that the goal of being church together is never, ever to rise above each other. It's actually to get low. The goal is only ever in Christ's church serving one another as Christ has served us. Getting low because Jesus got low. And you know where low people go? Up top with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, you know our hearts. You know what we love. You know what drives us. You know the makeup that we wear, the identities that we seek. And Lord God, would you shatter them all? Would you smear that makeup? Rub it off. Would you bring us down from these fake places that we put ourselves and cause us to to rise to the bottom with Jesus. Look, Jesus now is lifted up. He's glorious. He's reigning. But before that, Lord God, he served us. Lord God, would you help us to be served by Jesus? Do the work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit to make us see Jesus. Lord God, there might be some really proud people here. Men or women who think they're hot stuff. And Lord, you see through it all. Lord, would you break us down? Would you bring us low? Would you bring us low and then teach us to be lower still? Getting low like Jesus got low. Lord, because love for you and love for one another is the best thing that we can do with our lives. It causes us to run to Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord God, that our identity is not in what we do. I thank you that nothing that we do is going to make you love us any more, and nothing that we can do is going to make you love us any less, because you love us perfectly in Jesus. Our identity is in him. Lord God, cause us to turn to Jesus and rejoice that we really are high up top with him. And this is your glorious work in us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,